Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of season 3 of NFL Insights, hosted by Brennan Rampey and co-hosted by yours truly. My voice is sketchy at best, and you're going to be hearing more than usual from Brennan today. Let's kick it off with a battle in Baltimore with the Dolphins visiting the Ravens. Brennan, take it away.
All right, so this is one to watch because both teams are 1-0. The Dolphins were dominant on defense and did pretty good on offense, including a notable 4th-and-7 or whatever it was on a touchdown pass to Jaylen Waddle. The Ravens dominated the Jets, just like everybody thought. But unfortunately, it's starting to not, don't freak out just yet. No reason to freak out just yet. But the Ravens have lost 2 players to season-ending injuries already, which is giving people a little bit of flashbacks to how injury-plagued they were last season. Cornerback Kyle Fuller suffered a torn ACL, although they're deep in the secondary, that hurts. And offensive tackle Juwan James suffered a torn Achilles, and he is out for the entire season. And their offensive line is a little sketchy. Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, is questionable for this game, and the Dolphins have a really good defense on all levels. The Ravens played the Dolphins in Miami last year, and the Ravens just didn't do anything on offense in that game. But I still have question marks about Tua. This is a really good secondary, even though he's got really good weapons. But the game is in Baltimore, and I'm going to take the superior quarterback with Lamar Jackson, and I'm going to take the Ravens to win. But it wouldn't be a huge surprise if the Dolphins were to pull off an upset.
Okay, let's check in on Cleveland, as they will be hosting the same old Jets.
Yeah, I think this will be my lock of the week for the second straight. Week in a row, I'm gonna go against the Jets. Flacco, I believe, had 59 pass attempts, something like that. Generally, if you have over 50 pass attempts, you lose the game. That's what I seem to find. Yeah, as expected, Flacco was terrible. He's old. He's not mobile, and his arm is in declining shape. It's in decline, and the Browns. They were favored despite the Panthers being favored for a large portion of the week until a couple days before the game. But the Browns were favored at the very end, but I was still a little surprised to see them win because they were going up against Baker Mayfield, and I thought Mayfield would have a lot of knowledge against them, but the Browns had knowledge of Baker Mayfield themselves, which is what led them to be 1-0. Jacoby Brissett was decent enough. They were great in the running game. They had over 200 rushing yards, and they made plays in the passing game when they needed to. And the defense was really great in the first half. They gave up a lot of plays, and they were trailing by 1 with a minute left. But the rookie kicker Cade York kicked a 57-yard or so field goal and then they were able to win the game. The defense is going to have a lot easier performance. They're going to have an easier day against Joe Flacco because, as I just described, he's not much of a threat to really do anything. The Ravens won 24-9. I think the Browns defense will be just as dominant as the Ravens defense was against the Jets, if not more. So I'm going to take the Browns to win, and I don't think it should really be close.
Lock of the week coming in early this week. Let's head to Detroit, where the 0-1 Lions will welcome in the 1-0 Washington Commanders.
So the Commanders won against the Jaguars last week. Carson Wentz, their new quarterback, threw 4 touchdowns in the win against the Jaguars. And the Lions lost against the Eagles at home last week, but it was just barely. I think the Lions, even they might not have a great record, but I think they'll fight each and every single game. Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are 1-1, like, against each other. I think the Commanders have the superior talent on offense, particularly at wide receiver. And I like the Commanders' defense a lot more than the Lions. It's possible that the Lions could pull off an upset. It wouldn't really surprise me. Detroit's actually favored, but I like the Commanders as the favorite. So, it's going to be a close one. The Lions might win. It wouldn't be all that surprising. But I'm going to go with the Commanders here.
Okay, and we're going to go to our first of 2 trend games, let's call them. The Colts will be going into Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars, where historically they have not been good.
That's correct. I don't think the last time the Colts won in Jacksonville was either 2014 or 2015. I'm not exactly sure, but it has been many years since they have last won in Jacksonville. The past two visits have been extremely controversial, because in 2020, when the Colts were led by Philip Rivers, they lost in Jacksonville opening day, and that was the only game the Jaguars would go on to win that year, as they went 1-15. So that had to be pretty humiliating. And last year, and with Carson Wentz as the quarterback, all they had to do in week 18, the final week of the regular season, was beat the Jaguars, who were the worst team in the NFL last year. All they had to do was beat them, and they were in the playoffs, but they couldn't even do that. Now the Colts are led by Matt Ryan. The offense really struggled to get going against the Texans up until the fourth quarter. The Colts were down 20-3 against the Texans heading into the fourth quarter. Then the offense decided to do things, but they couldn't score in overtime, which resulted in a tie, which I truly hate. And the Jaguars, their offense didn't look so good in the first half against the Commanders, but then they looked to be a little better, and they did have two interceptions of Carson Wentz, but they came up a little bit short. But yes, the Jaguars have had really good success with the Colts here, with the Colts in Jacksonville, and injuries are taking place for the Colts already. There's a few notable ones. Linebacker Shaquille Leonard, who's pretty much the leader of the defense, is out again for a second straight week, and second-round rookie wide receiver for the Colts, Alec Pierce, is out with a concussion, which the wide receiver room was already in trouble, but this just makes the depth even worse. And I still think Matt Ryan can be pretty good, but you have to give him weapons to work with, and there's not really all that much to work with here. And so I'm going to pick the Jaguars here to keep this trend going.
When you say weapons, I'm assuming you mean receivers, because the Colts still do have Jonathan Taylor.
They have Taylor and Pittman, and that's pretty much all they seem to have right now. It didn't work out so well for them in the past 2 years.
Okay, let's go to our next trend game, and that's going to take place in New Orleans. Well, the 1-0 Saints will be welcoming in the 1-0 Buccaneers, but Tom Brady, as a member of the Buccaneers, has had his trouble with the Saints in the regular season.
He sure has. The Buccaneers are 0-4 against the Saints in the regular season since Brady joined the Buccaneers. They did win in the playoffs, but when it mattered the most. But in the regular season, no good. They have struggled in two out of those four games. They have struggled to score. They haven't even scored a touchdown, which shows you how dominant the Saints' defense has been. And not only does their offense tend to be terrible against the Saints, their defense tends to be bad too. In both regular season meetings in 2020, I believe they gave up 30 points. And in 2021, they gave up 30 points in the first one, but in the second matchup, they won 9-0. They actually shut Brady out in the second 2021 matchup, which is extremely hard to do. The Buccaneers took care of the Cowboys easily, but they're dealing with some injuries already. They had a lot of there's a lot of questionables, but those people will probably play. But the people to keep the names to keep an eye on are Chris Godwin, who is listed as either doubtful or out. Either way, he's not going to play because of a hamstring strain. And left tackle Donovan Smith is listed as doubtful with a elbow injury, which further complicates an offensive line that has a lot of new pieces. The Saints looked pretty bad for three quarters against the Falcons, but in traditional, and as we know with the Falcons, they choked again, and then the offense looked pretty good there. The defense did get torched, but the Saints, they know Brady pretty well by now, and with the injuries, in addition to being at home, I like the Saints to make it 5 in a row against Brady here.
Okay. Okay, let's keep these 1 o'clock games going, and let's go to MetLife Stadium, where the 1-0 Giants will be taking on the 0-1 Panthers.
I thought these teams' records would be in reverse. The Panthers were going up against the Browns at home, led by Baker Mayfield, but He played pretty bad in the first half, as did the entire offense, but then things got a little better in the second half. They had the lead with 1 minute left, but sadly fell just short after the Browns kicked a field goal to win the game. And the Giants, against all odds, they beat the Titans on the road by 1 point. They went for a 2-point conversion at the very end, which was pretty bold. But they had a couple of injuries in that game, most of which were on the defensive side, and those same players are still hurt. Linebackers Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau, who they're counting on to get a lot of pressures and sacks. Both of them are listed as doubtful, which means they're not going to play again for the second straight week in a row. And wide receiver Wandale Robinson, who is a second round pick, is out. Both these teams have some question marks, but I think it'll be a close one. It's definitely a toss-up, but I'm going to go with the Panthers here because I think they'll rebound after coming so close in the second half. And the Giants could win, but it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm going to go with the Panthers. It's a toss-up for sure.
All right, let's go to the Steel City, where the Steelers 1-0 will be welcoming in their conference rival, the 0-1 Patriots.
So the Patriots were pretty bad on offense. They only scored 7 points, but the Dolphins scored only 20, so their defense did pretty well. And one of those touchdowns was on a fumble touchdown where Mac Jones fumbled. And the Steelers, they won against the defending AFC champion Bengals, shockingly, and the defense was dominant. They had 7 sacks, and they had forced Burrow to have a career-high 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions, 1 lost fumble. But one of those interceptions was actually a pick 6, which contributed to 7 points for the Steelers. But if you take away the 5 turnovers, they probably would have lost. And unfortunately for the Steelers, T.J. Watt suffered a bit of a torn pec, or a partially torn pec, so he's going to be out for about 6 weeks. They placed him on IR, and that's huge. T.J. Watt's like Aaron Donald. Like, he's an unblockable force to be reckoned with, and you have to game plan for him. And without T.J. Watt, the Steelers' defense is a lot different and a lot worse. The offense was pretty meh for the Steelers overall, as was the Patriots, but with no T.J. Watt to game plan for, I think the Patriots will do just enough on offense and defense to win. But once again, another toss-up.
Okay, let's visit the defending world champs, the 0-1 Rams. When last we saw them, they were getting curb-stomped by the Bills. But this looks to be a get-right game against the Falcons coming to town.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the Rams kickoff game, there was a lot of hype for the game, but then they got destroyed. They had 4 turnovers, but still couldn't do anything with it. They lost 31-10, and Stafford got sacked 7 times, and I think he threw 3 interceptions, but they've had over a week to rest and forget about that, and the Falcons are 0-1 themselves. They were up 26-10 on their divisional rival Saints, and then for the millionth time, they blew a lead. Just gone. It was they gave up 17 on unanswered points, and this happens all the time. And the Rams defense is like the Saints, has a lot of good players on it, probably even more talented than the Saints, with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and free agent pickup Bobby Wagner. The offensive line gave up 7 sacks, but the Falcons don't really have as many good defensive players as the Bills do. And despite the Rams not having Van Jefferson, I think Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, and guys like Tutu Atwell and Ben Skowronek, in addition to tight end Tyler Higbee, will do enough to make... I don't think Jefferson's absence will be felt in this game. I think the Rams will probably play angry, and they'll probably blow out the Falcons. I think the Rams are going to win this one.
Okay, let's go to San Fran, where the 0-1 Niners, coming off a stinging loss to the Bears, will be welcoming in the 1-0 Seahawks, who excited at least their fans Monday night by beating the Broncos.
Yeah, that was really shocking to see and a little upsetting to see, because the Broncos really had that game. They lost by 1 point, and two goal line fumbles, which is just unbelievable. And and Geno Smith played like Tom Brady in the first half before not doing much in the second half. But even though I'm not a Broncos fan or a Seahawks fan, it was just disappointing to see Russell Wilson get booed. I know he did kind of force his way out, but I hated to see it. And I always think I'm overhating the Seahawks, but I'm not. The 49ers, Trey Lance is essentially a rookie. He only played in two games last year where he went 1-1 in those starts. And I'll give him a pass, as most people have, because against that game with the Bears, he was on the road. He didn't have tight end George Kittle, who is questionable, heading into this game, and it was played in terrible weather. And things seem like they might be a little better, but I still have my doubts about Lance as a quarterback. He didn't have much experience at the college level in a very small school, North Dakota State, and he's had flashes of potential, but also has had some kind of poor play as well. So I still don't really know what to expect. I know Lance, when the 49ers played the Seahawks in San Francisco last year, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's still on the roster, he played like the first half of that game, then he left with an injury, and then Lance came in and played somewhat well, but the Seahawks did pretty well defensively. The Seahawks did lose Jamal Adams to a season-ending injury last night. That's really looking like a terrible trade now. But I think the Seahawks will do enough on defense to confuse Lance, and if they don't have Kittle, that'll be pretty troubling, and I think the Seahawks will do enough on offense, on defense and offense, and I think they'll pull off the upset. And maybe, this team will make a wild card against all odds.
Well, I know that hurts you to say, because I know that you really hate the Seahawks. In another what looks to be a get-right game, the defending AFC champion Bengals will be going into Dallas to take on the 0-1 Cowboys. And the Cowboys season seems to be finished before it even really started.
Yeah, it sure does seem that way. They lost 19-3 to the Buccaneers. I was down on the Cowboys before the season even started. But then Dak Prescott suffered what appeared to be a thumb injury. And I mean, I was just talking about how disappointed or angry I was at Seahawks fans. It's kind of understandable because Wilson kind of forced his way out and he was the opposing quarterback. But Cowboys fans booed, and I think it was one person that threw trash at Dak, and I mean, that's just the worst. I think they're the worst fans in the league when you do that, booing your franchise quarterback, and in the case of one person, throwing trash. And I think they throw trash at players after the 49ers game, in the playoff game against the 49ers, which they lost. But I think they're really going to be wishing Dak Prescott was out there, because he's expected to be back sooner than expected, but still like four or five or six weeks. Jerry Jones says he's not going on IR, but this is a challenge. The Bengals did commit. They had five turnovers and were sacked seven times, but Burrow was sacked seven times. But still, they only lost 23-20, and I thought the Bengals had the game won. They had it tied with like 2 seconds left, 20-20. And I thought they were going to kick the game-winning extra point, but then it got blocked, then it went into overtime, then the Steelers won. But the Cowboys are going to be Cooper Rush is going to be their quarterback for now. He played against the Vikings, and he got lucky. He had a couple of turnovers in that game, and Mike Zimmer was just a pretty bad coach at the end there. And Rush isn't going to have Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson because they're on other teams. Wide receiver Michael Gallup has been ruled out for this game again, and the offensive line is in much worse shape than it was a season ago. On the Bengals side, a wide receiver T. Higgins remains questionable, but he'll probably play, and they still have Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase, as well as Hayden Hurst, who flashed some potential, and they still have Joe Mixon. I think the offensive line is going to play a lot better. The turnovers will be limited, and the defense was pretty decent against the Steelers overall, but I think a Bengals blowout is something to expect here.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Mile High City, where the 0-1 Broncos will be welcoming in the undefeated Houston Texans.
Yeah, they might be undefeated, but it's a tie, so they didn't win or lose. But they played pretty well for four quarters. They were up 20-3. Then they let the Colts back into it and then didn't do anything in overtime. But much like with David Culley last year, who I think was they really shouldn't have fired him after one season. But under Lovie Smith, they are going to show a lot of fight. And with the Broncos, they really should have won themselves. I feel pretty bad that Russell Wilson couldn't get the win against his former team, but they did it to themselves. They had 11 penalties. They had, I don't know if it was 11 penalties, but they had over 100 penalty yards and two goal line fumbles, as previously mentioned. But I think against the Texans at home, they're going to correct those mistakes. And they did place safety Justin Simmons on IR for four games, which might potentially be bad for them in another game that isn't this one. But for this game, I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to get the win that they should have gotten last week. I'm picking the Broncos to win.
Okay, let's visit Las Vegas, where the Raiders are welcoming the 0-1 Cardinals, and Cardinals season is not starting off well.
No, it isn't. These two teams both made the playoffs last year, but both of them started 0-1. The Raiders came close to beating the Chargers, but getting sacked, I believe, six times, and Derek Carr throwing three interceptions didn't help anybody. But fortunately for them, the Cardinals are pretty lacking in both the pass rush department and the defensive backs department. The Cardinals lost 44-21 to the Chiefs. If you don't have pass rushers or cornerbacks, Mahomes is going to torch you, and that's what happened. He threw five touchdowns, and I don't think he got sacked once either. And for the Cardinals, bad news on the offensive side is that speedsters Rondale Moore and Andy Isabella are both out. So the offense is going to struggle, and I think the defense is going to struggle. If they're not careful, they might get blown out again, and I think the Raiders are the better team here, so that's why I'm going to pick them.
Okay, the Sunday night game is a beauty. The Green Bay Packers 0-1 welcoming in the surprisingly 1-0 Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it was as a Vikings fan, it was pretty nice to see the Packers get defeated by the Vikings. They couldn't do anything on offense. They had one really bad drop by rookie wide receiver Christian Watson that might have changed the outcome of the game dramatically, but it didn't happen. They really struggled on offense. They only scored one touchdown, which was a A.J. Dillon rush. Rodgers didn't have a passing touchdown, and he threw an interception. And the defense, which had a lot of hype, didn't play very well. The score was 17-0 at halftime. And then the Vikings only kicked two field goals after, but didn't do much. And the Bears did start off 1-0, but Trey Lance is essentially a rookie quarterback, and the game was played in poor weather conditions, and the 49ers didn't have Kittle. But Aaron Rodgers is something entirely different. Their Packers are going to be really motivated to play well in prime time after the way they lost, much like last year, where they got blown out by the Saints 38-3. Then they played really well against the Lions in prime time on Monday Night Football. This is Sunday Night Football, and I know the wide receiver room is a lot different, but Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. His record is really good against them, and I was just on NFL Network. I was watching the headlines. I was watching Week 2 on the bottom, and Rodgers is tied with, I believe he is tied with Brett Favre for most wins against the Bears all time, and I think after this game he will break the record, and I think he'll be the all-time leading quarterback in wins against the Bears. The Bears might be 1-0, but I still don't think they're going to be very good, and I think offense is going to struggle in a big way, and probably the defense too. I think Rodgers is going to play well in this game and get the Packers their first win, so I like the Packers to win here.
You're saying the Packers are going to win big?
I don't know about big, but I think they're going to get it done, I think.
Okay, let's go to Monday night, where we actually have two games. We'll be visiting Orchard Park in Buffalo, where the 1-0 Bills will be taking on the 0-1 Titans. Titans not looking so good, losing at home to the Giants.
Yeah, everyone thought that was an automatic win, and I don't know what happened. I don't think Derrick Henry did much. First round pick, rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks didn't do much of anything. He is the one they're counting on to essentially replace AJ Brown. That's not going to happen immediately, but he didn't do much either. And the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC last year, but then they lost that heartbreaker to the Bengals, where Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions. They did draft Liberty quarterback Malik Willis in the third round, who may or may not be the future of the franchise. And if Tannehill continues to struggle and lose games, we might see him sooner rather than later. It's entirely possible they could miss the playoffs after being the number one seed, but the AFC South is looking kind of weak right now. The Jaguars are far from contenders right now, even though there might be a steady improvement, much like the Texans. I think it's a two-team race between the Titans and the Colts, but neither has looked so good to start the season. On the other side, the Bills look like the clear Super Bowl favorites. I think anything less than winning the Super Bowl might be a failure, but they've had good seasons, but I know they're trying to do a little bit more. I know the Super Bowl is their goal, and they started off really well. They beat the Rams 31-10. The Bills had 7 sacks of Matthew Stafford and had 3 interceptions too. They turned the ball over 4 times themselves, the Bills, but still won 31-10, which is a little scary because the score could have been like 52-10. Josh Allen looks set for an MVP type season. He's got great wide receivers, a good tight end in Dawson Knox, and a pretty good running back room. And they did draft Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, in the second round, also a running back, and I know they're relying on him a lot. And the defense does have a lot of new pieces, most notably Von Miller, who came over from the Rams. So yes, the Bills blew out the Rams, and the Titans, I think, are a worse team than the Rams. So I'm going to take the Bills to win again, and it might be a blowout win again.
Okay, and let's wrap it up with what I'm sure is the most important game to you, and in my opinion, probably the best game on the slate this week. Going to Philly, where the 1-0 Eagles will be welcoming in your 1-0 Vikings. Kirk Cousins, though, Monday night, not so great?
Yeah, I forgot until very recently that his Monday night football record is not that great. I know a couple of those losses were under Mike Zimmer, but under Kevin O'Connell, the offense was much more pass-friendly, or a lot more passing, and Justin Jefferson had a career high in receiving yards, and he had 2 touchdowns. He looked unstoppable, and the defense looked great, but I think this will be a lot more of a challenge because they're going on the road. The Eagles scored 38 points against the Lions, although the defense did keep letting the Lions back into it, and they did lose defensive end Derek Barnett to a torn ACL, but they do have a pretty deep and talented defensive line, in my opinion. And the Eagles wide receivers look better than the Packers wide receivers do right now. They got AJ Brown, they've got Devontae Smith and Zach Pascal, which I think was the under the radar signing. And I believe they still have Quez Watkins and Greg Ward, who are decent wide receivers, and they have Dallas Goedert at tight end, and Miles Sanders and Trey Sermon are some pretty good running backs. This has the potential to be a shootout, but it's on the road, and Jalen Hurts has some mobility to him. Entirely possible the Vikings can win, but I'm going to go with the Eagles here.
Okay, and I neglected to say it before we kicked off this episode, but Bren was 9-6 last week, which is rather pedestrian for him. He'll be looking to improve that.
And P.S., I almost forgot again, but I'm so very happy that the Washington football team is no more and that they are named the Washington Commanders now. I really hated that the past 2 years.
All right, don't forget to follow Brendan on Twitter at PhD in NFL, and make sure you go over to QBList.com where he contributes to an article called Beating the Spread, and he will also be writing the majority of the Vikings recaps under the headline What We Saw. Thanks, everybody.